This podcast is dedicated to my beloved angels in heaven, my mother, Gloria Davis, my sister, Yolanda Davis Holmes, and my breast surgeon, Dr. Manuel Torres Salix. Support for the Breast Talk Ever podcast comes from Mentor Implants.
So my best friend and I walk to the rack of the mastectomy bras, and we just look at each other, and we are like, no effing way. They are beige. They are utilitarian. They look like a grandma bra. They are disgusting polyester, jacquard lace. And we're just like, thanks, but not really my style. She goes, well, honey, this is the only thing that's going to fit you. And I said, okay, but we'll see about that.
Today on the show, we have Dana Donofrio, designer and founder of Ana Ono. Ana Ono is an intimates line made for women by women with breast cancer. We'll hear how Dana fashioned a dream job after being given a new reality, a stage one breast cancer diagnosis. Back in 2018, I flew to Chicago to interview Dana for the very first Breast Talk Ever interview. Dana and I had never met in person, but when I arrived at the set of an Ana Ono campaign photo shoot she was directing.
You'll take it out, kind of look at it, and you'll kind of come over to your side, and you'll tie a knot. So we can see that it's open on this side, and then it's come over, and it's being tied over here. Okay? Do you want the seam, or do you want no seam in the shot?
It was Survivor Sisterly Love at First Sight. From selling out the collection after being featured on the Today Show a few short months after launching in 2015, to being featured in People magazine, and to recently breaking Ana Ono sales records after being featured this month on Good Morning America's Deals and Steals segment with Tori Johnson, Dana's company Ana Ono has had an incredible journey. Ana Ono can be found online in over 30 boutiques and in over 120 Soma intimate stores across the U.S. With every sexy Ana Ono bra, panty, and robe worn, Dana has woven together a scarred but beautiful community of super strong women. Stitch by stitch, it took a lot for her to get here, beginning in her late 20s. When she was on top of the world.
I was young. I was living my life. I had a rock star career. I wasn't thinking about anything serious. I was 27 years old.
In 2009, Dana was flying all over the world. Paris, Istanbul, Hong Kong, London. And after killing it in the fashion industry for 7 years, Dana and her fiance decided to leave New York to start a new life together in Colorado. Dana had planned on going to grad school to enhance her knowledge and skills since she aspired to C-suite executive roles. But her game plan changed when she landed a job managing a $30 million children accessories account for a private label that did business with Walmart. Dana had gone from designing high fashion to designing ready-to-wear, but life was good. She and her fiance had purchased a home, and she was learning the business out of the fashion industry and actually getting to do it. She was thriving until one morning in January when
I found a lump in the upper part of my breast tissue, in my armpit actually, like a little pea-sized nodule or something, maybe like an inflamed pimple.
Dana knew she had dense breasts, which is typical when you're young, but she remembered that her sister and best friend did too. They both had found lumps in their breasts, but had been examined by a doctor and were fine. So like them, she figured she'd have her lump checked out as well. Dana made an appointment.
And they're like, well, the doctor's not going to be available. Are you okay seeing the PA? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And I end up seeing this young PA in the office. And she felt the lump very clearly. She said, listen, the odds of it being something are practically slim to none. But I'm not okay with not knowing. We're going to send you in for an ultrasound because no need for you to go through a mammogram if this is nothing. We'll schedule the ultrasound in the morning. We'll schedule the mammogram after lunch so that way we can have the ultrasound results and we'll know if you need to come back for the mammogram or not. And to this day, I know that she saved my life.
The next week, Dana was back at the hospital for her ultrasound.
So I go through the ultrasound and I get put back into the locker room to wait.
That locker room with the robe?
The locker room. The locker room.
And there's nobody in there.
Nobody's in there. And the lockers are always pink.
And there's all kind of...
And it's cold.
Shit going through your mind.
Yeah. And there's nowhere to sit. Like you're freezing. You're in a robe. Like there's no blankets. And you're just sitting there because like you can't put your clothes back on because like you're waiting for the okay from the staff. And the doctor comes back in and she says, can you stay for your mammogram now? I said, well, yeah, I'm scheduled for later this afternoon. I plan on going to get some lunch and coming back. She goes, no, we need to do it now. And I said, And so I go into the mammogram. I have like a B cup on good days. I have like no boobs. It hurts so bad because when you have really dense breast tissue and you don't have big breasts, they're like trying to squeeze it out of you.
Ouch.
Like horrible. And I go back to the locker room and then they ask me to come back in for more mammogram slides. And that's when things really changed because after that point, every appointment led to another appointment, led to another scan, led to another needle, led to another scan, led to another needle. So it was just, I was on the cancer train from that Friday till forever.
If you face cancer yourself or have friends or loved ones that have, then you're familiar with the cancer train and all the baggage that comes with it. Dana had just boarded the cancer train with her one-way ticket. Of course, Dana didn't know what she knows now. And that weekend in 2010, Dana was on edge, still waiting for her test results. And remember, Dana was in the midst of planning her wedding and honeymoon trip to Mexico, which is stressful enough without having to wait for cancer test results. Dana needed more than the New York City all-black outfits in her closet for her upcoming trip to paradise. She needed bikinis and sundresses. So the weekend after her mammogram, Dana, her mom, and her soon-to-be mother-in-law went honeymoon shopping. Dana had been anticipating the call from her doctor with the test results. It was the day before her 28th birthday. She was anxious to know if she would be crying all weekend or partying all weekend with her girls. What was it going to be? Despite having her eyes and ears glued to her cell phone, somehow Dana missed the call.
And I get the voicemail, hoping that on the voicemail, Dana, you're all good. I know you're in Ohio for your bridal shower. Call me when you get back. We'll talk. It's not what I get. I get, Dana, this is your, PA. Call me as soon as you can. And then I know. And then I know. It was all over after that. And I picked up the phone. I called her back. She says, Dana, your results are back. You have infiltrative ductal carcinoma. It's really aggressive. And you have to get to see a surgeon immediately. And there were 18 other million things she said to me on that phone, but all I heard was infiltrating, invasive, cancer, 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 cancer. And I hung up the phone and I looked at my mom and my soon-to-be mother-in-law and I just said, well, you guys can put all of these clothes away because I'm not going to be getting married because I have cancer.
Oh my God.
And My mother-in-law breaks down right in front of me, and my mom, being the rock that she is, starts asking me a million questions. I'm like, Mom, I don't know. I have cancer. I'm dying now. What do you want me to say? And she goes, Dana, you're not dying now. You have breast cancer. We can get through this. And she goes, well, what did she say? What was this? What was that? And her best friend had just gone through cancer years before. And I said, Mom, I have no idea what she said to me on the phone. I have no idea. I said, do you want to call her back? And my mom says, yes. I said, okay, here's her number. Call her back. My mom gets on her flip phone. My mom still has a flip phone. Gets on her flip phone, knocks out her paper and pad with her little pen and her beautiful handwriting, and she starts asking the questions, and she's fearlessly writing down all of the notes. And she's like, okay, what does she do next? When does she have to do this? What are the next steps? Who is the doctor she's supposed to call? And she's just on it. Like, the woman went into high gear. And I was like, thank you. And so we sit in the dressing room in the department store. We all cry together. And then I had to call my fiance.
Dana and her fiancé were supposed to get married in May of 2010. But after receiving her diagnosis the day before her 28th birthday, they decided to postpone the wedding.
I told them all. I said, hey, I don't have a lot of time for breast cancer. It's the end of February. My wedding's the first week of May.
Right.
We got 2 months.
Right.
Can I do this? Boy, was I dumb. I thought you went in, maybe you got your boob chopped off, and like you went about your life. I didn't know. I had no idea. I'm 28 years old. I had no idea. And my cancer was so aggressive that my surgeons rescheduled their schedules and a vacation in order to get me into my mastectomy. So we knew I was in my mastectomy the early part of March after all the other tests, the CT tests, every test. And my oncologist said to me, because of the aggressiveness of the cancer, he said, you're going to have your mastectomy. You're going to need about 4 to 6 weeks to heal from that. And if you want to still get married on your original date, you can, but there's no honeymoon for you. You are coming home on that Monday, and you are starting your chemotherapy because there is no time to spare. And I said, I don't want a wedding like that.
Right.
I don't want people to look at me like I'm sick and be sad that I could die. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. I didn't want it to be a cancer day. I didn't want it to go down in the memory bank like that. So I made a deal with my breast cancer team, and I said, okay, guys, I'm listening. You're telling me a really positive decision would be for me to postpone the wedding. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to postpone it for 1 year. You better get me through my surgeries and get me better in time so I didn't get married next year. And they were so awesome. They did. They made it happen.
I just want to hug you, but oh my God.
Fast forward to 2011, a year after crying in the department store. After Dana had a bilateral mastectomy, 6 rounds of chemo, and a year of Herceptin with the usual therapies that come with it, Dana's cancer was in remission. She and her fiancé could finally say I do and take off for their long-awaited honeymoon to Mexico. Dana had been waiting for over a year to wear the lingerie she was gifted during her bridal shower prior to receiving the breast cancer diagnosis and going through treatment. In fact, Dana is so excited about her upcoming honeymoon trip. One day, a few weeks before her wedding, she decides to try on some of the sexy lingerie.
And I start putting them on, and nothing fit me. Nothing fit me at all. And I put on one beautiful lingerie set, and I throw it in the corner. And I put on another beautiful lingerie set, and I throw it in the corner. And I'm like, okay, again, remind you, the Itty Bitty Titty Committee was my old club. So
I was a member of that club too.
Yeah. So
Itty Bitty Perky Titty Committee.
So I was like, okay, I get it now. Maybe I'm not a 34B anymore. Like, maybe my breasts are bigger. This is why they're not fitting.
So off to the mall she goes. Once again, Dana found herself in a department store. This time with her best friend on the hunt for a bra.
And we went to one with a really, really large intimates section. And we got all these cute bras. We take them into the fitting room. Put one on. Doesn't work. Put one on. Hurts horribly. The underwire hurt, or the molded cups were like bubbling, or like I don't have nipples anymore. So there'd be this huge bubble where maybe your nipple used to sit, or the lace was itchy. And so I was like, all right, let's get out of here. I said, we gotta go. I'm gonna have a breakdown. We gotta go. She goes, maybe these just aren't the right styles. Let's just give it one more round. So we talked to the sales rep and we tell her that I had a mastectomy, reconstruction. She goes, oh, let me go show you these bras. And so my best friend and I walk to the rack of the mastectomy bras. And we just look at each other. And we are like, no effing way. They are beige. They are utilitarian. They look like a grandma bra. They are disgusting polyester, jacquard lace. And we're just like, thanks, but not really my style. And she goes, well, honey, this is the only thing that's going to fit you. And I said, okay, but we'll see about that.
And in that moment, surrounded by polyester, jacquard, and lace, Dana's path toward founding Ana Ono began to take shape. But first, she needed a bra she could wear to work. So she gave in and bought one bra. One basic, boring black bra.
I go to work the next morning. I put on my new bra. I'm going to conquer the world today. I'm back. Beware. I get in my car. I drive to work. I walk into the bathroom. The bra comes off. I couldn't even make it an hour. It was so uncomfortable. My ribs hurt, my shoulders hurt, my sternum hurt. Like everything was screaming at me in my entire rib cage. And I took it off. And then I was really like, what did I do? What happened to my body? Why am I so different? Why, when I have breasts, can I not shop in the same places, the same stores, or get the same things that I used to do before I had breast cancer? Why? I'm not the only woman with breast cancer in the world. I'm not the only young woman with breast cancer in the world. Granted, there's not a lot of us, but there's plenty. And women have been getting diagnosed with breast cancer for years, you know? And I thought to myself, is it just because they don't care because we're going to die? Like, is that why? Like, nobody's cared because we die? Is that why? And then I was like, that can't be why. That can't be why. And I still don't know what the answer is. And so I was going to care and I was going to do it.
We'll be right back. I'm a breast cancer survivor and I'm grateful. Not only because I'm a survivor, but because my oncologist gave me a gift, the gift of information. As it turns out, I had a unique type of breast cancer that could only be identified by taking a closer look at my cancer biology. When I was first diagnosed, the standard test said that I had HER2-positive breast cancer. However, my doctor dug deeper, and through genomic profiling, she discovered that my HER2-positive breast cancer was actually triple-negative breast cancer. This meant I would need a whole different type of therapy than originally planned in order to successfully treat my cancer. I am so grateful that my doctor made sure to look at everything before moving forward. I believe every woman with breast cancer should have the same chance I had, an opportunity to formulate a truly personalized treatment plan with her doctor based on comprehensive genomic profiling that includes molecular subtyping. Here's my story. When I was first diagnosed with breast cancer, I had just lost my sister to the horrible disease. I experienced a roller coaster of emotions sorting through the medical details and new, unfamiliar terms. Genomic testing was one of those terms, but my oncologist broke it down for me and told me that she would use tests called MammaPrint and Blueprint to classify my tumor as low risk or high risk in either luminal A, luminal B, HER2, or basal subtype. These are the specific classifications of breast cancer that would help my oncologist better understand what was driving my tumor and how to plan my treatment. It turns out my breast cancer type was triple negative and not HER2 positive, as originally determined by clinical testing. And this changed our entire care plan. Once my oncologist understood my individual tumor biology, she was able to use the information to create a personalized treatment plan for me. Navigating cancer is hard enough. Your treatment decisions shouldn't be. For more information, visit www.agendia.com. That's www.agendia.com. In the summer of 2011, after the Black Bra disaster, and the insight that came with it, Dana traveled to Europe and had the opportunity to visit many lingerie boutiques while shopping. She was impressed and inspired by the way ateliers like La Perla designed lingerie. Not long after that trip, back in Colorado, Dana had a hot flash, or shall I say, an oat flash, in the middle of the night. She pulled out her sketch pad, and the ideas began to flourish. She identified the problem and started designing around it like she'd done during her entire fashion career.
And what I realized was I had moments of time in my life that needed to be fulfilled immediately. I needed a bra to go to work in. Mm-hmm. I needed a bra to wear on my sexy date nights out. I needed a bra to feel comfortable in. I wished I had a bra I could have worn after my mastectomy, after I was released from the Iron Maiden.
Dana started with the five types of bras she needed. Sexy bras, sports bras, everyday bras, comfortable bras, and of course, a post-mastectomy bra. Her philosophy was, and still is, that beauty and comfort shouldn't have to be compromised. Back then, Dana didn't have a big community of survivor sisters like she does now and often felt isolated. She had no idea how other women would respond to her intimates, but being an experienced designer, she knew she needed to find out. She needed to do some market research to determine if she had found this huge gaping hole in the market or if she was alone in it. The response was immediate.
I was in a healing yoga class for mastectomy, and I asked everybody, I said, hey, I said, have you been able to find a bra after your surgery? Boom. Pandora's box. Everybody had disturbing stories just like mine. They went to all of the stores. All they could find was a sports bra. They went to the mastectomy store. They left in tears. They've decided to wear nothing because nothing fits them, and that's just easier. So they'll wear a tank top and a cardigan or a tank top underneath their shirt. And that's when I knew it wasn't just me. It wasn't just me with this problem. It was all of us.
Dana decided to start her own company, and the next thing she needed to create was a name for her company.
All right. Tell us about the name. How did you come up with the name?
What's so funny about it is my best friend from college, also a designer, she's a shoe designer, says to me when I tell her the name, I said, okay, I've got my name. It's going to be Anna Ono. Because we're fashion designers. We have egos. We think everything we do should be named after ourselves. But I'm like, Dana Cassie, Dana Donafree, none of these things really sound like a lingerie line. So I just started pulling my name apart, and Anna Ono surfaced. She goes, Dana, it's you without the double D's. And I'm like, brilliant.
I just love it.
This is great. Love, and I'm like, and what's it. Even funnier is that I never had double D's.
Once Dana had the intimates to sell, next came the campaign that included patient models who to this day are at the forefront of all Anna Ono promotions and advertising. From the start, Dana vowed to feature real breast cancer survivors.
When I looked at my competitors, or what was available in the market at the time, who are now my competitors, I saw very clearly that every bra they were trying to sell to me, a person without breasts, we call them foobs, fake boobs, that I was being sold something on a model who has beautiful, gorgeous, voluptuous, perfect breasts. And it made me angry. It made me disgusted that here we are talking about something so sensitive and they don't even take it that seriously. How are you going to sell me a bra, somebody who doesn't have any breasts or real ones, on somebody who's got two perfectly real breasts? How hard do you want to slap me in my face? And I knew from that moment that I was never, ever going to do it. That if I was talking to people like me that were undergoing breast surgeries because of a cancer diagnosis or to prevent one, that they needed to see that I was doing something different, that my designs were designed with intent to work with their bodies. And I wasn't just saying it. I was doing it.
Dana's commitment and genuine purpose-driven marketing strategy paid off when Anna Ono got its first PR opportunity. I asked Dana to share the story.
It started at the beginning because I thought for sure what I was doing with Anna Ono and making bras for people with breast cancer that have had reconstructive surgery was just never done before. So I thought it was going to be a really easy soundbite, but in reality, it's so much harder than that. And I decided to take everything I had left in my savings account and pay to get to a press release event where the publicists and the writers and the stylists and the editors, they all walk around everybody's line. Well, you have about 30 seconds to tell these people who and what it is that you do. And I was telling everybody, oh, I've made these bras that they don't have underwires and there's no cups because my customer doesn't have breasts anymore. And I'm going on and on and on about why my bras are so different. And everybody's kind of like, okay, like, I get it. Thanks for sharing. And they would walk by and they would walk by. And I realized, I'm like, I'm not telling a story. And it just so happened that the next person that walked into my little showroom area was the editor of the Today Show. And I said to her, I said, I help make women with breast cancer feel beautiful. She goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I make these bras that fit women that have undergone breast surgery and breast reconstruction because they can't wear a traditional bra. And she goes, well, tell me about it. She goes, are you carried in any stores? And I told her, I said, actually, yeah, I am carried in stores. And one of my recent stores shared a story with me that they were so happy I created this line. So they no longer had to turn away the women that walked in with breast cancer and tell them that they had nothing for them and see the disappointment on their face and even see them cry and leave. And how thankful she was that I was there to help support her and her business, to help support her customers. And she goes, wait, tell me more. Can I call this store? Can I talk to them? And I'm like, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I run out into the hallway and I call my store and I tell her, I say, hey, you're going to get a call from the editor of the Today Show. And just so you know, here's the story I shared. Are you willing to share that story with her? And she's like, oh my God, yeah, 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 yeah. And it was just really amazing that in that moment, I realized that it wasn't how I designed the bra. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all of these special features that I had done to fit a different body. It was just that we needed to feel beautiful. And the tagline of the article was that designer brings comfort, parentheses, and sexy back to breast cancer survivors. And it was just capturing everything I wanted to say.
Almost a decade later, after selling the first bra, Anna Ono and Dana Donofrio are survivors. Anna Ono is thriving and continues to do what none of its competitors were doing when Dana first launched the brand, actually caring enough to create intimates and a supportive community that are designed by and for breast cancer survivors. Anna Ono continues to double business year over year, sell out collections, and premieres annually at New York Fashion Week in partnership with MetaViver. I've learned so much from my breast cancer diagnosis, and I was curious to hear what Dana had learned.
What has breast cancer taught you?
I thought I had the world to conquer, and I had all the time to do it. And I know that that is no longer the case. And maybe I ride life a little bit harder now because I know time is limited and I want to get it all in and I want to make the biggest difference I can while I'm here. And I want to help out my fellow breast cancer sisters because we lose too many of them too fast. I have lost more than I can count now. The first year or two after my diagnosis, I was able to keep track. I no longer can. And with each passing, I get a little bit stronger and I get a little bit louder because those voices need to carry on and it is our duty to do so.
What would you say to a survivor who's coping with their diagnosis and feels alone?
You are alone, in a sense. You lay asleep at night with your own thoughts. And your own thoughts are the darkest thoughts. It's not what you show to the world. And I say that because I was so alone. I was so alone, and I was also very afraid to go into the community and meet other young people with cancer and to maybe sit down and say, hey, guys, I have breast cancer. You know, the pink ribbon kind, the one that gets all the commercials and all the airtime. When I'm sitting next to a 22-year-old that has brain cancer that's been given 6 weeks to live. And then when I went into the breast cancer community, I was the only young person. I didn't have anybody but older people around me. And they didn't get it. They didn't get what it was like to try to decide if I was having kids or if I was getting married or if I was going to die before I saw my 30s. it's hard sometimes, especially if you're not like in a big metropolitan city, to find your people. But I think with the internet and with social media and things like that, you can find a community of support that wasn't there before. And there's something to that, because I can sit down right now and look at you in your eyes and say to you that for the last 8 years, I've been afraid of dying, but today I'm not afraid of dying anymore because I'm okay with it. I came to peace with that. I don't say that to my mother or my sister or my father or my loved ones, but I can say it to you because you know what I'm saying. You get it.
Is there a mantra, something that you live by daily that you, like our survivor sisters, our listeners, to know it, perhaps could lift them in their day-to-day?
My mantra is that I got out of bed in the morning, that I am, my feet have hit the earth, and I am breathing. You know, I have no room left in my life for bullshit. There's too much that needs to be done out there. And that's what I live by every morning.
And Dana's prescription for success.
My prescription for success is we have one opportunity at this lifetime, and you better make the best of it. And that can be anything to you. But for me, it's to live every day as fully as possible. And when you take the fear away and you just live, it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've just had the best talk ever.
That's Dana Donofrio, founder of Ana Ono. You can purchase Ana Ono online at www.anaono.com and in Soma stores nationwide. You can follow Ana Ono on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Ana Ono. Now it's that time for the Breast Talk Ever Happy Hour segment. It's time to toast and celebrate Carepreneurs submitted by you, our listeners, with the delicious signature No Proof cocktail. So what is a Carepreneur? Carepreneurs are individuals who help us survive this business called life, whatever that means to you. A No Proof cocktail is simply one without alcohol. Every episode, I will share a signature cocktail recipe I've created for you to make, share, and enjoy. Each episode's cocktail is named after the brand of the survivor, metavivor, or previvor featured on the show. So just send your voice memo to thebreasttalkever@gmail.com, telling me about the carepreneur who helps you survive this business called life. Without further ado, today I'm celebrating a few special carepreneurs of mine who took such great care of me. Jaden Holmes, Shonda Hawkins, Michelle Simmons, Donna Gaines, Parisia Clyburn Patton, Clint Patton, Sarah Jones, Sonia Hill, Iris Johnson, Chope Aluko, Mrs. Marcia Dwyer, Regina Nichols, Michelle Rouse, Tracy Harmon, and of course, my entire oncology team of physicians, surgeons, nurses, staff, family, friends, SARAs, teammates, and survivor community. Thank you. Cheers. And I love you all. This is the third episode of our first season, or threeson as I call them. Why have I coined it a threeson? To help educate and inform about metastatic breast cancer realities. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in the U.S. According to Metavivor, 30% of patients diagnosed with earlier stage breast cancer will eventually develop stage 4 breast cancer and die. Think about that. I do every single day. I am 1 in 8, but my mother and sister both became a 1 in 3 of women whose breast cancer would eventually metastasize and take their lives. The 3 episodes in a threeson on the Breast Talk Ever podcast allow me to creatively advocate for more funds to support research for stage 4 breast cancer. I thank you in advance for supporting my efforts and those organizations that are funding research for a cure and especially metastatic breast cancer. You can follow the Breast Talk Ever on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Breast Talk Ever. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you've enjoyed the Breast Talk Ever show, tell a friend. Please don't forget to rate our show and also write a review. It will help others discover the podcast to receive their dose of hope and inspiration. Our show is produced by me, LaTanya Davis, with editing help on this episode from Francis Harlow, audio engineering by Eric Begay of Podfly Production. Our theme song and music scoring is by Jean-Paul Guyot. And the bass guitar you hear being played on the theme song is by my nephew, my nephew's son, Jaden Holmes. I'm LaTanya Davis. Thank you for listening to the Breast Talk Ever.
Believing that this is a story that needs to be told, and that all of our stories are stories that need to be told. Thank you guys so much.